This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
I got a call from a friend of mine today who says, well, there is a famous Hollywood director that wants to have lunch with you, Phil. I said, okay. Told me the name of the guy. And then I realized a lot of stuff going on right now in my life. And may your lives be as interesting. Or as the man says, may you live in interesting times. I say the man. I'm referring, of course, to Donald Sutherland in the movie Disclosure. But anyway, he quoted that Chinese guy who said, may you live in interesting times. Never mind. Anyway, I said, okay, I'll go out to have... And then I realized that a whole career plan is beginning to take shape for me. Since, of course, last week there was an announcement, we're going to do a television show for NBC, or we're going to do a television pilot, or let me put it this way, we'll do a script for NBC, and people are calling, and now this movie director, so a career plan and a career path is beginning to emerge where I can start having lunch with film directors and gradually let my radio show slip. In other words, I go out to lunch and not get into the office till 2:30, maybe even 3, and so there's only about an hour available for show prep, and then gradually I just won't show up for work at all and begin to develop a drug problem, and then the next thing you know, I'm fired from my radio gig, and when I call up movie directors to have lunch with them, they don't want to know me anymore, and then I blow my brains out because my life has come to an end. How about that? Hey, that's what I want to do. That's the career plan for the year 2002. Start thinking that my stuff doesn't stink. Start thinking that I'm bigger than I am, and then blow my brains out on a cliff over Malibu sometime this summer. All right. Excuse me. I wanted to mention also that my wife and kids are out of town, so if anybody wants to come over for drinks or shoot some pool, that'd be great. Just come on over. No chicks. I'm faithful to my wife. I don't do that, and I don't talk about infidelity, and I don't talk about women and how sexy women are. You know, in other words, I don't talk about that stuff because I happen to be faithful to my wife. I love her, and I don't talk about my sex life per se because I personally don't think my wife's a whore. So I'm not going to talk about the intimate details of our life together. Thank you very much, despite all of the cards and letters pouring in asking me to do otherwise. I say cards and letters pouring in, all of them authored by Chris Pelton under an assumed name. Please talk more about your sex life. So anyway, my wife's out of town, and the kids are gone, so I'm all by myself in the house, right? You want to come over for a beer tonight, Craig? Chris? Anybody? And this morning, I'm laying in bed and I hear this. Right? I go, what in the hell? I ain't doing it. So I roll over and instead of seeing my wife laying there, my beautiful wife, it's the cat. Laying there with a little paw in front of his face going, sucking on his fur. So naturally, I picked him up with one hand and just did kind of an overhand, kind of a split-finger fastball. Nah, I didn't. I just told him to get the hell out of my face. When you're alone, all of a sudden the cat, you know, thinks that he's got free rein. Oh, go up here and sleep in your bed, huh? Laying there, licking himself, cat hair all over the place, then getting up, wanting something to eat. And I remember back in the day when the cat box was in my office. I had a little tiny office in the house, right? So the cat box was in there. And every morning when I went in to start making notes or doing some writing, the cat would come in and take a dump in the box. Yeah. I'd hear him. He'd kind of be looking around the corner. And as soon as I went in there, he'd follow me in. And as soon as I started working, just squeeze one out in the box. And now it smells like it smells like what you would think it would smell like. Lilacs for the next 20 minutes. But it's cool being by myself because I can do something that, well, actually I can be single again. Being single again for me means only one thing. It means walking around the house with two or three television sets on and not having to turn them down. And I did this. I've got a TV set downstairs where I shoot pool, and I got a TV set where I sleep, okay, in my bedroom. And I had both of them on to the same movie, and they were in opposite ends of the house, and I just walked between them. If I had to go into the kitchen to get something to eat, I could hear what was going on in the movie because it was on over here. Then I would walk back, and I've got a computer fired up in the room so I can work on the computer and watch this flick, and I got it cranked up really loud so you can hear it up the street. You can literally, up the street at my neighbor's house, just reverberating through the wall. That's the way I lived when I was a single guy. TV sets on all the time. Maybe I'm watching them. Maybe I'm not watching them. So what? Whose business is it? My wife turns television sets off if she doesn't see somebody sitting in front of it every nanosecond. If somebody gets up to go take a crap, she turns it off. I said, you can leave the TV on. What? I was just in the bathroom. I'm not going to sleep, and I'm not leaving. Well, I just don't like to hear it. I don't like to see it. My wife has got an aversion to televisions. You'd think it was typhoid. She can't stand to look at them. She can't stand to listen to them. The only thing that she'll watch on them is if I absolutely insist she sit and watch Sopranos with me, she'll do that, and the Super Bowl. I can't remember the last time she sat down and watched anything on TV. She can't stand it. I told her, well, what about this the deal I got with NBC? She, I ain't going to watch any crap you put on there. So as a result, rarely do I get to watch any television around there. So with them gone for the next 3 days, I'm watching TV until like 2 in the morning. I'm dragging my ass in here. I've got like 3 hours of sleep last night because I was watching movies well into the... And I watch them all, man. I watch crappy 1970s style, like Roller Coaster. Have you ever seen that? I watched the... Oh, that's brilliant. That flick is great. Roller Coaster. And then I saw one the other night. This was fantastic. It was with Henry Fonda, a movie called Swarm, about killer bees. Dude, is that awesome? It's Henry Fonda, one of our all-time great actors, like in pain because he's getting stung by bees, but he's still got to help save the world while the bees are hitting him. Then there's another classic called Killdozer, which I hadn't seen for years. This is a movie about 10 construction workers on an island in the South Pacific that had been used as a nuclear bomb testing range, and because it's so radioactive, the bulldozer has come to life and is trying to kill all of them. Killdozer. Great movie. Awesome movie. All of these at odd times on a very cool movie channel called Action. Action. I don't know if you've heard of this channel. I think it's run by Cinemax, but it's all real cheeseball 70s made-for-TV mung, and it's just the most tantalizing swill. Check that out. And then I also like to tune in Cinemax, because Cinemax is good for always like a little rerun of Full Metal Jacket, which is always good to brighten your... I'm telling you, if you're depressed, if you need your spirits lightened, Full Metal Jacket, the first half of that movie, will always lift your spirits. How tall are you? 5'6". I didn't know they stacked crap that high. And lines like that. Are you gay? No, sir. Bull crap, I bet you could suck a golf ball through a garden hose. Just things that make you feel good about yourself. What I'm going to do, by the way, for NBC, please don't tell anybody this. I'm going to transcribe the entire Killdozer script, and I'm turning that in as my project. Here you go. I think this is great. Really? And I bet you anything, they make a weekly 30-minute sitcom out of it about people for, like, years and years and years. It'll be 30-minute sitcom each week, how they avoid being murdered by a bulldozer and all the sex they have with each other. Because I think that would jazz friends up no end. Serious, man. All you got to do is take friends and then have a radioactive bulldozer in the middle of it. Now you got yourself... And speaking of high comedy, this is great. Did you hear the latest? In a stunning plot twist that would traumatize fans of TV's Friends, the Smash series writers might kill off Rachel. And the way they might kill her off? Have her die during childbirth. Ha 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 ha! Wow, is that funny! Jesus. All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com, celebrity ass poll. Also buy our, if you wouldn't mind, our Best of the Year 2001 CD. Bring it. It's only $20. And the number to call is 877-616-7445, 877-616-7445 for the Best of the Year 2001 CD. It's the Phil Henry Show, and you can get that at our Phil Henry Show website, philhenryshow.com.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Other shows that are going off the air. Felicity is going off the air. There's a few others that are going off. And it's just, and like I mentioned, Friends. Is Friends going off the air or just in anticipation of the possibility that they may go off the air? They're coming up with ideas on how, and the people who are deciding whether the show is going off the air are the actors as well as the producers. Are the actors going to take less money? They're going to take more money. Will the network pay them?
Very.
Bud Dickman, what, Bud?
You know, I don't know if you know, Frasier going off the air, too.
Frasier's going off the air, yeah.
And I know you've inked a deal with NBC, which I thought was interesting. Has there been any money figure given on that?
No, I there's no money figure that I, even if they gave one, I'm not going to release it, okay?
All right. I don't know whether you know it or not, but I'm also in conversation with the network.
You are?
Yeah.
You're in conversation?
Well, I've had a couple of ideas, and Frasier, as you know, is going off the year, too.
Is this Frasier's last year?
Yeah, Frasier last year.
Okay.
And so I wanted, because I read a thing about Friends, about they're going to have her die in childbirth, which I thought was very amusing.
Yeah. Are you kidding me, man?
Well, they're looking for a twist, and I gave them a script for the last Frasier show where...
Is that it?
Yeah.
Can I see it?
Well, I can give you a synopsis.
Go ahead.
Well, basically what we want to do, and I think it'd be kind of fun for the viewers to see Frasier on his last show. He's on the air in his radio station.
Yeah.
And a listener comes in and shoots him 5 times and then has sex with his skull. You know, it's just kind of a twist. Something a little different.
Kind of a twist and something different. Do you think this is some kind of a trend toward darkness?
What?
Well, what do you mean a listener comes in, shoots him 5 times, and has sex with his skull?
It's kind of a way. It's just kind of a, it's black humor.
There's nothing funny about that.
Well, what about a dying in childbirth? That's funny.
Who said that was funny?
The guy who wrote about it.
Well, who wrote about it, man? I just said to you that this happens to be something that the New York Post wrote.
Well, look, it stands to reason. The people who write Friends know what funny is.
Yeah, it does stand to reason that people who write Friends know what funny is. I don't know that they necessarily meant that to be funny.
I don't get it.
What don't you get, man?
Why do you put on a comedy if not funny? That's funny. Now, that's comedy. Believe me, I know. I worked on, you know, I got my ideas on what's funny, too.
You got your ideas on what's funny, too. So based on the fact that Friends may have a script where Rachel dies in childbirth, you want for Kelsey Grammer's last appearance on Frasier, he's on the air, and he gets shot 5 times by a listener, and they have sex with his skull.
Yeah, just a kind of an amusing. It's relaxing.
It's relaxing.
It takes people's mind off the day.
Oh, yeah, that's...
How's she going to end the show? I mean, I don't understand.
What do you mean, how else are you going to end the show?
There's no other way.
How about if he just says, well, that's it, I'm moving.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, that's great, Phil.
Well, what's wrong with that? I mean, why doesn't he just say, okay, everybody, I'm leaving, and that's the last that you'll ever see? What does he want? What, David?
Look, you know, I don't know why I got to tune in and listen to you arguing with it.
Arguing with it?
Yeah, with Dickman.
He came on here, and he said he wanted to do...
I heard what he said. I heard the whole thing. What are you arguing with him for?
I don't know, Mr. Hall. Every time I come on, I want to talk about some. He argue.
I'm not... Look, he said that
he... said that he wanted Frasier to end the last show to have a listener have sex with Frasier's skull.
After he shoots him 5 times.
Right. I think it's beautiful.
Yeah, and it just gives people a chance to relax.
It just gives them a chance to relax.
Who's relaxing watching something like that?
Look, Phil, just because you didn't think of it...
That's it exactly, Mr. Hall. He jealous.
Yeah, that's it. I'm jealous. I didn't think about Frasier having his sex turned into a skull toy. Having his skull turned into a...
Hey, listen to you. Listen, why don't you just shut up, okay? And let people who know something about writing comedy say something about it.
Oh, it's all of a sudden Bud knows about writing comedy.
Well, look, you don't think that... that idea for Friends is very good, and yet professional comedy writers came up with it. Bud comes on and says that he thinks that a listener ought to have sex with Frasier's skull. You don't think that's funny either. I think it's fantastic.
Sensationalism is important. I've shopped a lot of scripts, and believe me, it's got some heat.
It's got heat.
Oh, it's got heat. That's what it's got. It's got heat.
What else you got, Bud?
Look at David. I don't...
What else do you got, Bud?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Hall. I got another idea here. How about the last episode of Sex and the City?
Yeah, what about? Is that going off the air?
I don't know. It could, but they need a last episode.
It's not going off the air, David.
Well, what was your idea?
Well, I was thinking of having all three women gang raped and thrown from a moving car.
That's fantastic. You see what I'm saying, Phil? This is a kid that's thinking...
All three women gang raped and thrown from a moving car.
Yeah.
See, that's the idea. And then, on the last episode of Soprano, the same night, you can have Tony hung from a meat hook, twitching and kicking.
There you go. So on the same night that you have all three women on Sex and the City raped and thrown from a moving car, have Tony Soprano hung on a meat hook, twitching and kicking. Fantastic! See, that's what I call writing. And that's something you could use a little bit of on your show.
Yeah, see, I offered to help Mr. Henry write his show.
Kev, and by the way, could I also add something?
What?
That's really funny stuff, too.
What a sarcastic ass you are.
He's always a sarcastic ass. He never takes nobody serious.
Are you guys putting me on? Tony Soprano twitching and kicking from a meat hook. Look, at those shows aren't even going off the air.
Well, what shows are going off the air?
Well, the Ellen show's going off the air.
Oh, okay, what about that?
Well, I wrote a thing. It's kind of whimsical.
Hey, Bud, is it as funny as having Frasier's skull turned into a sex toy?
See, Mr. Hall, he's sarcastic.
Quit being sarcastic.
Okay, what's your idea for Ellen?
Well, in a whimsical last episode, Ellen ties a screaming Cloris Leachman to a bench in a deserted barn and dismembers her with a skill saw.
That's good. See, there you go. That's it. Have you got... I want to see a treatment on that because I got some friends over at the network.
Okay, I can get it, write it up by the morning.
Great. See you later.
Wait a second. Are you...
See? Mr. Hall going to take over network.
Mr. Hall going to take over network.
Anybody ever tell you sound like some freaking native in the jungle who's carrying a box on his head?
Mr. Hall, call back. Get out of here.
Ellen ties a screaming Cloris Leachman to a bench in a deserted barn and dismembers her with a skill saw. That's the last episode of Ellen. There you go. Now that's fantastic. That's the way to just check right out with something clean and lean and beautiful. So you've got Friends, she dies in childbirth, Kelsey Grammer is shot in his studio, and then his skull is turned into a sex toy. Tony Soprano's hung from meat hooks, all three women in Sex and the City are raped and thrown from a moving car, and Ellen dismembers Cloris Leachman. Now that is the end of a beautiful season of comedy on the old TV. That's must-see TV. Unfortunately, that ain't NBC. Well, maybe some of them is. Some of them are. Since I'm a writer now, I have to learn to speak gooder. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show here. Yes, sir, you're on the air. Sir? Hey, asshole. I'm just kidding. Did he hang up? Try going like this, Phil. Hey! All right, no, it didn't work either. All right, well, that means all the lines are open. 1-800-449-8686. I was going to say, there's only four open lines. 1-800-449-8686. Sometimes I get to talk, and I'm sorry. I apologize. You don't know whether to call. You don't know whether to sit there in your hands. You don't know what the hell to do, right? Isn't it? It's confusing listening to this show. Should I call? Is that voice real? Is it a fake voice? Are they real people? Are they fake? If I call, am I stupid? Or am I smart? Or if I call, can I be funny with Phil? Or does he want me to call? Or does he not want me to call? I don't know what to do. Is he looking for schmucks and schmoes? Does he really want an intelligent person? I know it's a hard thing. This show is more difficult than any other show on the radio to figure out, man. You just got to sit there and tell you what. Don't call. Don't call. That means only the dummies are going to call now because they didn't hear me say don't call. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
On our last show, Bobby and Steve Dooley were on to talk about their son, Dylan, who was going out with a girl who dressed like Britney Spears. And their son being so handsome and so popular, he had to go out with this girl, a girl dressed like a slut who wanted nothing more than to corrupt their little boy, Dylan. Let's listen.
Phil Hendry. Flashback.
Yes, I've been listening to the show.
It's good. Lisa, hold on, friend. Bobby, I'm sorry that you're upset. Are you okay now?
Yes.
Go ahead, Lisa.
Bobby?
Yes.
And I have a 12-year-old daughter, and then I have a 14-year-old son and a 6-year-old son and a 14-year-old stepdaughter.
Oh, my God, you are busy, aren't you? You're busy.
I have a stepdaughter, okay?
Oh, all right. And I thought that they were all yours.
Just hear me. Can you hear me out a minute?
Sure, I just thought that, did you come up for air? That's all I'm...
Just never mind. Well, let the lady talk, okay?
I'm sorry.
And,
Jesus.
I have a couple things to say here.
As my son would say, if the rabbit never came out of the hole,
if the girl showed up at your door,
mm-hmm.
dressed as a slut,
mm-hmm.
as you said...
Yes, yes.
Okay, why'd you let your son leave with him if he is your, precious child?
Because I thought she'd be a young lady. All of the girls
but
like to dress like the Britney Spears.
She was dressed like a slut.
Yes, she was. Yes,
and
she
was. And you were going to let your son leave with a slut?
Well, that's normal for girls that are around my boy, though, Lisa. They all like to slut it up around him.
And then she's got bruises on the inside of her leg. But let me tell you something. I've been raped. I'm 40 years old.
Dylan was going to witness to her.
If I could dress,
it was part of
his.
No, but you wanted
can
to know.
I please
you,
talk?
All right, but he wanted to witness Christian ministry to her.
Okay, listen.
What?
I was raped, and I didn't ask for it.
You were right.
I was raped, I didn't ask for it.
You were raised up where?
I was raped.
Oh, you were raped.
Yes, and I didn't ask for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm 40 years old, and if I could fit in clothes like Britney Spears, honey, I would wear it.
Well, I don't know what rape has to do with it. My boy was witnessing Christian ministry.
Yeah, rape has to do with a lot of it, because you do not get bruises on the inside of your legs unless they're forced open.
Lisa, the Lord put it in Dylan's heart
and
to witness to that slut.
And you send this young girl out to a boat to meet with a bunch of men. And then your husband's drunk off his butt.
No kidding.
Throwing up. Is that like father, like son?
Lisa, that is so true. This is Phil Hendry. We have Mr. Dooley on the other line again.
Why don't you let me?
Just hold on for a minute. Lisa, just stick with us. Steve, are you there?
Yeah.
All right. Are you going to sober up?
I get some coffee in me.
I think y'all need to send somebody out there to see about the girl.
Is that Bobby? Bobby, is that you?
No, I'm here, honey. That's another lady.
Who are you? Who are you?
Mr. Dooley, this is Phil Hendry. That's Lisa. She's a caller.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Mr. Dooley.
How are you?
You're a really good role model for your perfect son, aren't you?
Well, I didn't mean...
Is it true, like father, like son?
I didn't mean to.
It don't matter if you meant to. You did it.
I was only going to have a little drink.
And then when you drunk like that, well, you don't remember the next day half of what you did.
Well,
Trust me, I've been there. I've been drunk.
I
wake up the next morning, don't remember what I did.
I know, but you know what I did? I wrote a lot of it down.
It don't matter what you did. What matters is y'all got a young girl out there on that boat.
Where?
Okay. And y'all were probably all drinking.
We had a taste. But she's not here now.
Well, that's good. Because
are you
I'll
married?
Fix to call the cops to come out there and see about the girl. And I'm not even from here.
Are you married?
Yeah, I'm married. And I got two boys and a daughter and a stepdaughter.
Hey, you warm it up for your husband at night?
You're right, I do.
Yeah, I'll bet you do. Hey, Lisa.
You're not even worth talking to.
Lisa, listen. That girl you're talking about, right?
Yeah, that girl I'm talking about.
She's gone.
You do not get bruises between your legs unless they're forced open.
I don't know where she is. She disappeared. It must
Well, good. I'm glad she did for her own safety.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
And I don't care how she was dressed. It don't matter how she was dressed.
She had on a
If she was dressed like a slut when she came to the door, why'd you let your son leave with her? If he's so popular and so prim and proper.
I would have. She had.
You would have, yeah, because you're a male.
She had a little thong underwear. And,
how do you know she had little thong underwear on? Were you looking?
Oh, ma'am.
You had to be it if you said that.
Well, that's what my son said.
Right, right.
I didn't look at nothing. My
Maybe you need to go drink a little bit more coffee, and both of you and your wife need a wake-up call.
Okay, okay.
I think y'all need some help here.
She also had big nipples, too.
You're disgusting.
You're disgusting. I'm sorry.
You're disgusting.
Why?
Your son must be just like you. Father like son, right?
I guess. You know
son like father?
Hey, Lisa, guess what? Her underwear's on my head. I just found it. I have it on my head.
Phil.
I'm right here, Lisa. This is absolutely...
I don't even
this is
want
an
to
abomination.
Talk to him no more.
I'm sorry.
That's sickening.
On my head.
Get
that
her underwear.
Sickening.
Get
Y'all
her
need to call somebody and get them out there and see about that
Well,
girl.
The girl is safe. We found out she's fine, but... Mr. Dooley, you're not driving tonight.
I don't have my truck. How can I drive?
Good. He's not driving this evening.
And I hope this is recorded, everything he just said about the girl's thongs and her nipples.
Yes, ma'am.
And that's all I have to
say.
And to the mother of the son,
mm-hmm.
I think she needs a wake-up call.
Mm-hmm. What did I say bad about her nipples? I say nothing.
Well, what are you doing looking at a young girl's nipples?
I don't know. They were there.
You are some kind of a real piece of crap.
Oh, my gosh.
She was taking a shower, and I brought her some soap.
Phil, I
yes,
don't
ma'am.
Even want to talk to that trash.
I don't blame you, ma'am.
Uh-oh. Here it goes again.
But I think...
Oh, God.
Is his wife still on the line?
Yes, ma'am. This is Phil Henry.
Is his wife still on the line?
Oh, is Bobby there?
My husband's sick right now. Hold on.
God.
This is sickening.
Unbelievable.
This is so
it's just
sickening.
It's sickening.
Phil Henry's Flashback.
That's totally sickening. And you can also hear it on our website. PhilHenryShow.com. That's how sickening it is. 1-800-449-8686. Since I put the call out for phone calls, we've gotten one. All right. We'll be right back with that one phone call in a moment on The Phil Henry Show.
Now, Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
Well, I got something to tell you. This is not easy. And I thought long and hard about this, but it's necessary for me to say this to you at this time. I am sorry to say this, but I really haven't watched any of the Olympics. And I don't feel as if I'm missing anything. I'm sorry. I hope you can forgive me. I'm not watching our kids going for the gold. And when I hear about some pug-nosed white kid from Idaho winning the downhill half-pipe, half-baked up-your-chute, ski lift snow cone competition, I don't get all gushy with pride. I'm sorry. I might as well tell you now that I really am completely unfamiliar with Ally McBeal. And I never gave a crap about that 70s show either. I don't like Sex and the City. And I'd be very, very happy, and let me underline this, very happy to see the Los Angeles Dodgers leave town and go back to Brooklyn, New York, where they belong. All right? 1-800-449-8686. One other thing, too, just so you know who you're dealing with. U.S. News and World Report has a headline. Some National Football League players have been ripped off by con men to the tune of millions of dollars. All right. That's great. Is it because I'm sadistic that I want to see these guys lose their money? What is it exactly? No, it's none of those things. It's just I'm happy to hear that they're getting ripped off by con men to the tune of millions of dollars. I can't tell you why. It just makes me feel good to know that National Football League players are losing millions to con men. It just, it puts a spring in my step. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Rick on the Phil Hendry Show. Rick?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Great, man.
Whoopee.
Yeehaw.
I'm from L.A., and I'm stuck in this godforsaken place right now.
Well, whatever, man. L.A. ain't all that either, so. You got to be somewhere.
It's like one of those things
you're within
where
the borders of the good old
it.
USA. Just hold on for a minute, Rick. I'm talking here. You're within the borders of the good old United States. Ain't that good enough for you?
At sometimes, yeah, but
where would you prefer to be?
Where you may not know that just by the surroundings here.
Know what?
L.A. is one of those things, Phil, where once it's taken away from you, I usually compare it to like driving a Ferrari and then getting stuck driving.
Well, I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
But an old Pacer.
I know what you mean. I'm from here, but I went off into the hinterlands to pursue my career, and I was in places like Florida and Georgia and Minnesota and Louisiana. I lived in Louisiana for a while, and it is like going to the third world, you're right, compared to... And I know that people are going to think this is a typically Californian chauvinism, but it's really true that when you look at other places compared to California, like we have curbs here, things like curbs.
Curbs,
you know, like a curb.
Curbs
as opposed
sidewalk.
To just having the gutter running in your front lawn. and the traffic lights here are extended out on beautiful wrought iron arms as opposed to just hanging from wires.
Hanging from the wire car.
Yeah, you know, stuff like that. So anyway, Rick, what can we do for you?
Well, I was just calling in. I heard your comment about the Dodgers there, and I guess that was kind of the whole point, too, is the Dodgers and with you. It's one of those things where once they're gone, you'd miss them.
No, I wouldn't. I've completely changed. When I was a little kid, I lived, breathed, and crapped Dodger baseball. It was Sandy Koufax, Don Drysdale, Ron Fairley. I can tell you the infield of the 1960, I can tell you the whole lineup of the 1963 World Champion Dodgers. Johnny Roseboro behind the plate. On the mound, you had the rotation of Koufax, Drysdale, or Padres. Third base was Junior Gilliam. Shortstop was Maury Wills. Second base was Dick Truszewski. First base was the great Ron Fairley. Out in right field, big, fat, and dumb, Frank Howard. Dead center, Willie Davis. And, of course, in left field, the National League hitting leader, Tommy Davis. I loved them. I cried. I was 10 years old when they lost to the Giants in a one-game playoff. There I was, crying. But things have changed. Life, you know, moves on. Things move on. I don't know what's moving on, but something's moving on with me. Things move on a lot easier if I, you know, eat the fiber that my wife is, ha, 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 ha. But I don't care about them anymore. I don't think it's because I'm better, and I don't think it's because they're worse. I just think it's because they're going their way, and I'm going my way, and my way ain't going their way no more. They're going their way, I'm going my way. I go my way, they go their way, me go my way. See, after a while, the older you get, you start talking as if you're in a Tarzan movie. Me go my way? Remember how Tarzan would talk sexy to Jane? Me go have sex, you? See, stuff like that. Boy, me go have sex, Jane. You, cheetah. You know, and that's how they get their Friday nights sorted out. You know, nobody has ever, ever still responded to my accusation that patient zero of the AIDS epidemic was indeed Tarzan. No one has dared discuss that. he got it from Cheetah, he gave it to Boy, and Boy gave it to Jane. And then, of course, she flew to the States and gave it to every flight attendant. That's how it happened. Here is Mike. Hi, Mike. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
How you doing, Bill?
Good, man.
I've been laid up here a little. And I've just been watching the Olympics, and I've been observing the way that NBC has actually handled themselves during the way
they've been handling themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As far as Bob Costas, the way he is with President Bush, and you know, I just found that very interesting. Bill?
1-800-449-8686. That was the last scene of Sling Blade that you just heard right there, folks. Here is Mark on the Phil Hendry Show. Mark?
Hi.
How you doing, man?
Good, thanks. How are you doing?
Fine.
Great. I was just listening, and I heard you commenting on these football players getting scammed out of a bunch of money.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's anybody out there in the world that feels like me, but I'm a 20-year-old male, and I hate organized sports. I hate baseball. I hate football. I can't stand it. And I think
I don't hate the sport because I'm not gay like you, but I do. I'm joking. Are you gay?
No, I'm not.
Okay, I'm just joking around. I don't hate the sport, but I don't have any love at all for the individual players. None at all. I think they're all garbage.
I'm
speaking
absurd.
Specifically for football. I don't know about the other sports, although they're all, in my opinion, varying degrees of social scum. But the football players in particular are real lowlifes. And but I can separate myself from my opinion of them and watch them perform on a Sunday afternoon and appreciate what they do and enjoy the game per se. But I don't get swept up in any personality cult having to do with any of them.
Yeah.
And when the game is over for me, man, it is over.
Right. I mean, I think it's absurd that they make so much money for what they do, chasing a little ball around the field.
Well,
I mean, it's trivial to me.
You can't blame them for that, though. That's the value of the society. I mean, you know, everybody. You know, everybody, if I've heard it once, I've heard it a million times, how come they make that much money while the firefighters and the school teachers making what they... Well, the answer to that is that's their value to the culture.
Right.
They are obviously more valuable to us than school teachers and firefighters. And people can pay lip service all they want to the school teacher, firefighter, coal miner argument, but, you know, people vote with their pocketbooks, like people say. And the money that I make is embarrassing. It's a crime. It's a crime what I make. Am I willing to give any of it back? Of course not. Will I? No. No, there's not a chance. So long as the relative value of what I do for a living is greater than the value of what a school teacher or a firefighter does. How do I know? I make more money than them. What could be clearer? You want them to make more money? Then I tell you what you do, Mr. and Mrs. Taxpayer. Vote them more money. That's all you have to do. You don't want to do that? Because you'd rather sit and just listen to me? All right, if you insist. Next hour, we're going to sit here and pick our nose and see what that sounds like. You know, something else. I forget. I don't know. I don't work that.